Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again with my great co-host and business partner, Al McDonald. Al, what are you saying? It's been a great day of conversation so far.
Been a great day. Looking forward to the one we've got coming up here and thrilled to be able to speak with our guest today. I won't spoil the surprise, but I think this is going to be a really, really interesting topic that we're discussing today. So looking forward to it.
Well, today's guest started out as a colleague who I met a couple of years ago, has turned into a friend, and really turned into one of my go-tos when I need answers in the industry, because a very, very smart guy. Gavin Mosley is the founder of the Group Benefits Biz platform, which is an incubator for new group benefit concepts with the goal of helping reshape how advisors and organizations think about employee health, access care, and improve long-term well-being. With deep expertise in employer-sponsored healthcare programs and a keen understanding of the ROI behind proactive health investments, he's become a trusted voice for advisors looking to support their clients while improving productivity and retention. Over the last 5 years, Gavin has taken a deep dive into the private health space, which is now emerging as a cornerstone of building an executive benefit strategy. With nearly two decades of industry experience, including time at one of Canada's top insurance carriers and several national consulting firms, Gavin brings both technical expertise and a passion for simplifying the complex. He's a certified employee benefits specialist and a recognized advocate for using InsurTech to enhance the client experience. That's a lot, Gavin. You're doing a lot of stuff. That's all I can say.
Thank you. Well, I wouldn't be able to do cool stuff like this without people like you who want to do cool stuff too. So thank you.
And you know what? That's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the podcast. It's become a platform, not only in Canada, but globally, which is still a bit surreal to me when someone will reach out from, you know, Santiago, Chile, or Stockholm, Sweden. There's a great story around Stockholm, Sweden, and how people are connecting. But where we are today, and what I want to talk to you about, is this private healthcare, because it seemed like it was in back conversations, like you heard whispers of this back in the day. And I would say in the last 6 to 12 months, this is really coming to the forefront, especially with people like you and what you're developing. So I thought if we could start with the big picture, what does the private healthcare system look like in Canada today? And how does that intersect with our public system?
That's a great question. And I'll start by saying, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, if the private health system comes to Canada. Let me tell you, it's been here a long time. There is robust infrastructure that has really always existed. I physically am located in Ottawa, Ontario, the capital. You know, lots of embassies and diplomats here. None of them have OHIP. So there's an entire fee-for-service infrastructure of primary medical care here for people like that, international people. So it's not like anything new needs to be developed. It's already there. It's just the private insurance space has never really done much with it based on some of the rules. So if there were a group benefits advisor looking to understand, you know, how can I introduce the private health space to clients in Canada, the infrastructure that we're dealing with most would be private executive clinics. And there's a lot of big names in the industry that have been around a long time. There's a lot of new clinics that are starting. I feel like every few months, there's a new one that opens its doors. And they offer more proactive, more comprehensive testing, things that if you were to go to your family doctor, you can't really ask for if you don't have a symptom. It's this type of thing. And the more and more you get into issues like this, sometimes you may not have a symptom until you're already at stage three or four. So the whole point of accessing the private health system and getting proactive testing scans is really to catch something early before there's a symptom. And every private clinic you'll ever talk to has their stories, right? Of this perfect person came in, they felt totally fine, but we found this and we caught it. And that's really what you'll hear when you go to clinic. And you'll come across people, like even brokers I know, this clinic saved my life. If I had not gone, I would have never known. I felt fine. And sure enough, there was this huge thing that nobody saw. And so it's an intriguing space to me. We've been in it with maybe a toe into it in the health spending account space. Some of these services could go through spending accounts, but we've never really been involved. We've helped with some tax strategies, the spending account world, but now there is proper insurance for this. So this is really what got me motivated to really understand what this is, where it fits, and where it does overlap with the public health system. And so the rules are different in every province, which makes this really fun for us, especially in Ontario. They're one of the harder provinces to work in because there's some services where there is overlap between the private system and the public system. And by law, you must send something to OHIP if it can be covered by OHIP. So that's where you get into this. Is it private? Is it public? And there's a bit of both. So it's very confusing knowing what pieces go where and what side of the wall are we and where do we want to stay in our world? Because the reality is we're not clinicians. We're not medical professionals. We're insurance nerds. And, you know, we want to make sure that we stay in our lane in giving advice.
It's interesting because for a very long time, I've been interested in my own health and fitness and nutrition. And that's only amplified as I've gotten older, like a lot of people. And several years ago, me, Al, and Joe, my two business partners, we decided, okay, we're going to go down to MedCan. And I remember going down to MedCan and 6 hours top to bottom. And I thought, this is the best thing ever. I've subsequently done Cleveland Clinic, great experience as well. And thanks to you, we did a tour of LaVie here in Oakville. Just wonderful people over there, by the way. And if you haven't heard their podcast, oh my gosh, you have to listen. Their reason why they do what they do is just so impressive. And I really like them. But even with that, the conversations that I would have with executive teams and executive leaders was only occasionally, oh, can you get me a deal with MedCan? Can you get me a deal with Cleveland Clinic or what have you? I find, again, more recent conversations, this is coming up more and more, so much so that I put it on my menu of topics that we're talking about, because I was actually kind of surprised, Gavin. This is not something like, oh, that's a nice to have. I think there are teams that are recognizing, to your point, is you want to catch things earlier, right? And if the only answer is that first level of service, the, you know, the MedCan, the Cleveland Clinic, the LaVie, well, what happens after that? Because my understanding is, well, now you're back in the public system. And the executive leadership teams that I talk about are, how do we make sure these very important people to the business stay healthy, proact on their health, and if something does happen, we get them back working as soon as possible. And I'm sure we're going to dive deeper into the product that you've created, but it's interesting to see how quickly this conversation has come to the forefront and people are really engaging about this.
Agreed. And I'd say part of it is really this sense of knowing, which is really intriguing to me. And I didn't really have this sense of knowing until I bought the product myself. You know, if I package a program, I need to be certificate number one on it. And I knew the program made sense and it was a fit for me and my family and my budget. But at the end of the day, and I've got three daughters and we do have a family doctor, but at the same time, if something serious were to happen for them, I didn't know what that would look like. I didn't know what it would be. I didn't know how long we'd have to wait or who we'd be talking to. But then you talk to people who have done a bit of medical tourism, you know, and they've got something done in the U.S. And I have a brother who lives in the U.S. So I hear some of how he accesses healthcare with himself and his son. And every time I talk to people who access healthcare in the U.S., it's, well, we think it could be this. Let's just walk down the hall and we'll take a scan. And then we're going to read the scan together and we'll figure out what. And it's like, well, let's just walk down the hall and we'll take an x-ray. And there isn't this, well, we'll give you a requisition. You're going to have to go home for a while and they'll call you when your number's picked. So this ended up being this dynamic where a Canadian could consume healthcare like an American. You can shop for a doctor. You can shop for a clinic or procedure. You can schedule a surgery or treatment when it's convenient for you, not just waiting for when your number's pulled. It's tough to make plans. And when you're running a business, even tougher. So it gives you the sense of, well, me or one of my daughters got sick. Like, I'm going to go to the US and I'm going to get it done right now. There's no waiting. I'm going to access the navigator. I'm going to figure out what makes sense to go where and when. And we're going to do it. There's no thinking about it. I don't need to worry because I have a global healthcare system at my fingertips funded by insurance now. So it does bring with it a different feeling of risk mitigation for me personally, but also my business. How long am I going to be down for? Right? Probably less when I know I can get something done right away.
Gavin, can you talk a little bit about how you introduce this to business owners and make it, I mean, not just attractive to the executive team or the owners, but actually make the case for driving an ROI on this type of investment, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what a lot of people are interested in. Yes, I mean, I totally get that everyone's interested in their own health, but at the same time, hey, how do you measure and what is the ROI on this for my business? Can you talk a little bit about that and how you talk to an owner about that?
It's a million-dollar question. Why would we spend a corporate dollar on this? We get that all the time. I'd say the ROI, we see it in three different facets of the conversation. One, I mean, there's the human side to it. Most executives don't want to wait for anything, and they want to get back to performing. Race horses need to race. They don't want to be in the stables. They want to run. And if there's important parts of your business that are hinging on the performance of a certain individual, the time that that person is away from work, that's the major one that drives that ROI is, you know, think about a lawyer billing out at $500,000, $1 million a year in billings. I mean, these products generally start $4,000 or $5,000 a year. How many days or weeks does that person need to miss for that to really make sense? And even if they are working while they're sick, I mean, how well are they working? So I'd say the time away from the office, but also even if they are working, how well are they working? That's the big one. But also when you just don't know, when am I going to get a surgery? We don't know. How long is a company willing to leave that up to OHIP? You're in line. We'll call you. Right. And if that's not good enough, you know, this is really the only way that I've found to take control of it without dipping into kind of after-tax dollars personally to pay for something. And so the other ROI is the tax treatment of these payments now. So believe it or not, as you start bringing these up as a benefits advisor, talking about, you know, what are you doing for your executive benefit strategy? Well, we give them 100% dental cleanings, right? That's kind of the old school way of doing executive, you know, a couple little bells and whistles to the health and dental plan, you know, is 100% versus 80% dental cleaning is going to keep an executive there versus moving? Probably not. Frankly, maybe it did 40 years ago, but now it's a more modern world. And yeah, even executives do move from time to time. And if you lose an executive, that's a pretty big deal. So this is something that is new. Not a lot of big companies do it. So it is very innovative. We actually do expect if executives do actually move, they'll want to take this with them, which they can, which makes the product even more interesting. But we have found in the kind of 3-4 years that we've been working really heavily in the space, a lot of executives are already using the private healthcare system just on a tax payment that isn't very efficient. You know, they're dealing with taxable dollars. Now that we're in the insurance world, it cleans out the taxability of all those payments. We're checking all the boxes, tax deductible for the corporation, tax-free benefit for the owner. So that's the other side of the ROI. So between the personal healthcare reason, shortening the amount of time away from the office and getting them back to top performance, and then just the taxability of the payment. Why give money to CRA when you don't have to? So those three things really together make up the ROI.
So maybe we've danced around a little bit, you know, we've talked about why this is good and the ROI and why people are interested in it and all that kind of stuff. But can you talk about the product a little bit? Because we haven't really dove into it yet.
I was just going to say, I bet you there's people listening say, talk about the darn product.
Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Well, it's a really, I mean, I've never been in the industry 20 years and, you know, I've never been a great salesperson, but I know a good piece of insurance when I see it. And this thing is really unlike anything else out there. It's a specialty product, really, really unique. And I don't think it's as widely known as you'd think for what it is. And I was actually upset with myself when I learned about it, because I'd been in the industry a long time. And when I learned about it about 5 years ago, I said, why didn't I know about this 10 years ago? You know, I would have been selling day one. It's just not a lot of brokers know about it, but the ones that do, it's really core to their programming. So the insurer that I use is called Best Doctors Insurance, a sister company to Teladoc. They're huge. They're a global company, reinsured by Lloyd's of London. So lots of stability there. That's a product that, believe it or not, was born in South America, where there's this medical tourism style of programming where wealthy South Americans would want to get services done in the U.S., have babies in the U.S., and just higher level of care. But then when the wait times in Canada really started to go up, they took the product and plopped it into Canada, and it, same thing. So we can now leave the Canadian line to go to the U.S. The product is really chopped up in three areas. So one is you get an executive assessment. And so they run a network list of the top Canadian private assessment clinic. So Robin, you've mentioned a few: Medcan, Cleveland Clinic, LaVie, Well Health, TELUS Health. There's some really interesting new clinics popping up, like Loom, a women's only clinic that popped up in Toronto. I think they'll probably be pretty successful with their deep focus on women's issues. And we are even seeing some newer clinics, even one that you had on the pod recently at Regenalife, doing some really advanced screenings and whole body MRIs and advanced cancer screens, some really interesting new age scans that you just can't get anywhere else. And so it starts there. And most executives that I've met actually are often already going to these clinics. So, you know, the introduction of going to a Medcan or going to one of these clinics, well, I already go there. You know, what is this? And you know, why do I need this? Now, the key is understanding what these clinics do and what they don't do. So they do an amazing job of diagnostics. However, if they find something, which is the whole point of going there, they say, you know what, Robin, you need a knee replacement. You've toasted your knees. Too much martial arts, man. It's time. You've toasted your joints and over all these years. And so they're going to say, well, we'll give you a requisition. Good luck with OHIP. And, you know, maybe they know a specialist, but there isn't really a way, you know, the don't you know who I am thing doesn't really work as well as it used to in the public system. You don't know when you're going to get your knee replacement, full stop. And they don't do knee replacements at Medcan. So that's where you fall out of the private health system back into public once you hit the point where you need treatment or surgery. So that's where the insurance comes in. The product that we've designed has $1 million of coverage where you can now use that global health insurance to pay for treatment or surgery, which means you maintain your access to the private health system, not just for the diagnostics, but through treatment or surgery now. Which now you can go get your knee replacement wherever you want, Robin. If you want to go to Montreal to do it, leave Ontario and go to Montreal. If you want to go to the US, you want to go to Europe, you would have that all pre-planned through the insurance company, navigated, and they would facilitate your leaving the Canadian line, going to the US, getting it done and coming back probably a lot sooner than you would have had it done with OHIP. And that's usually where the pure insurance stops. And I thought, that's great, but it's not really rounding out the healthcare journey. So our InsurTech company, we are what's called a TPA or a third-party administrator, which means we can bundle in different programs. And as Robin knows, I'm a huge proponent of new wellness. I love wellness companies. It is insurance. It's just not an insurance product. And in the wellness world, I get to say the word unlimited a lot more than I do in the insurance world these days. And so something like a lot of the claims we figure will eventually be orthoscopic, knees, hips, shoulders, things where you do need to wait longer than you really want to in Canada. But we partner with a company called Physio, who gives our clients unlimited virtual rehab, you know, with athletic therapists as part of our program. And so when somebody returns from that surgery, we have a whole list of wellness companies there to support your rehab to full health. You're not left necessarily to your own devices to go find a physio, you know, this type of thing. And we also thought, you know, if someone's going through a chronic illness or a major diagnosis, they're probably going to need to change their diet. So we have a plethora of nutrition-based programming companies like RX Food. We really like them. We're also working with a pharmacogenetic firm called PillCheck. We figured as people are going through these surgeries, they're probably going to be on a cocktail of nuclear strength painkillers, which, you know, I've talked to a few people and sometimes the painkillers are the hardest part, worse than the surgery. I've talked to a few people because they reacted really badly. And so there's a lot of predictive tests that we include. We have a nutrition test with Gut Check, which is a really nice DNA test that I like. So we're really rounding out, not only just getting the work done, but also getting you back to work, getting you through that recovery as fast as possible and giving you resources and programs where you don't need to reach into your pocket to use them. You don't need even to be going through a treatment or surgery to use the wellness. You can even use it proactively if you do want to know what medications aren't jiving with me. But the other side of it, I mean, going through something like this can be pretty traumatic. So we don't forget about the mental health component to this, which mental health is actually specifically excluded in all the insurance dealing with this. So we've developed, with the help of Dr. Warren Chappelle, who is the industry guru for EAPs, an EXAP, the Executive Assistance Program, which is specifically designed for the unique mental health needs of executives. We know that most owners won't use their own EAP. So Dr. Chappelle is hand selecting seasoned therapists, executive coaches, that it's not the first time talking to a CEO. And when you're going through a major health event, sometimes you need to talk to somebody, and they're probably not calling their own EAP most of the time. So really everything here is designed for the highest performers in the company.
And Gavin, the insurance piece, I mean, what are we talking about in terms of what do they have access to in terms of amount? How do they do that? You use me as the example. I've decided, you're right, those years of jiu-jitsu. It's not my knees, though. It's my back. And okay. Talk to any person who's been in jiu-jitsu for a long time, it'll definitely be their back. But let's assume it's a knee, because that's a little less scary. I want to go to the US. What kind of funds do I have access to? How does that work?
The retail product, you can kind of quote different levels, but we run a multi-employer association plan. So the plan, we pick one plan design. We found the best standard deviation. We kind of quoted a million different ways. The coverage is $1 million with a $5,000 deductible. We found that to be the best bang for the buck from a pricing and coverage perspective. And essentially, it'll cover your visits to a specialist in the US, where actually they waive that deductible. If you're going to do something diagnostic in the US, that $5,000 deductible doesn't apply. So if you wanted to go see a specialist, get checked out at the Mayo Clinic, you can go down for free effectively. But if you wanted to get your back worked on, you got to get a back surgery, you'd have up to $1 million of coverage after the $5,000 deductible. Though if you are traveling more than 320 kilometers away, there's a $5,000 travel budget. So they'll help you fly down to get there and stay there. So it almost helps pay for that. But it will cover medical procedures in a hospital, diagnostics in a hospital. Everything's pre-approved. So it's not like you'd go down and do something and pay. You'd submit a request, I'd like to go do this. And you'll know in advance, and then they'll coordinate payment directly. But I have a lot of brokers who say, oh, it's kind of like critical illness, isn't it? A little bit. When we set up critical illness plans, sometimes we earmark some dollars. You could buy an expensive drug or do a little bit of medical tourism like this. But this is very different because it is health insurance. You get $1 million per year. It replenishes every policy year. So there's a ton of coverage here. So some people, you know, you might have to go back and get something done later, and there'll be dollars there for that. So there isn't really much out there where $1 million isn't going to cut it. Most of the claims, when you're thinking orthoscopic, are kind of under $100,000. But, you know, if somebody were in dire straits and needed something heavy duty, there's a healthy amount of coverage there.
As I was saying earlier, I do see this picking up steam and having more conversations. And I know I'm not the only one out there across Canada having these conversations. So I think the more people that are exposed to this, and I had said to you, Gavin, I had showed this to 5 people and all 5 people said, how do I get this? Right. So I think we expand that out. There's going to be a lot of interest in this type of thing. Where do you see this going in the next couple of years?
I see it growing very quickly. And it's not just my superstition or hope. All we need to do is really look across the pond. I've talked to brokers in the UK where they have national pharmacare, single payer pharmacare system, as well as public dental. And I asked the broker, I said, what is there left? You know, you're not selling a group benefits plan, drugs and dental. What do you even do? He said, oh, well, we do a lot in the group retirement space. We do a lot of mental health programming and private health insurance. I said, what's that? What do you mean private health insurance? Oh, well, we have 2 systems here. And public system's like, okay. But if you really want to do something quick, you can probably do it faster in private. And there's insurance for that. No big deal. And companies want this, especially for management. And so it's just a core part of how they work. And when I hear that type of rhetoric, I mean, Canada's already talking about national pharmacare, national, well, we already have a Canadian dental system that if a switch were flipped and they put that in front of our plans, what's left for us? Same thing, group retirement, wellness, and now private health. And I mean, for our whole careers, Robin, our job has been to deploy insurance where there are gaps in the public system, gaps in prescription drugs, gaps in vision care, gaps in dental care. And this is just a new gap that wasn't really there 20, 25 years ago when we started in the industry. You know, this gap of waiting and not knowing, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. There are no politicians that have solutions for this. They think throwing money at it can fix it. Maybe, probably above my pay grade. I feel like nobody in our world is sitting at these tables, but I think where this could go would be potentially alleviating the public system, making the Canadian line shorter. And I have had a few polarizing discussions. It can be a highly politicized argument. There are organizations that are organized and against the idea of private healthcare. Although I haven't met the person yet who needs it, who's willing to be the martyr for it, who say, no, I'm going to wait the year versus going to the US and doing something for the sake of the system. You know, if you're willing to be in pain for a year, in principle, I haven't met that person yet. You want to get out of pain and get back to work and get back to family life as fast as possible. So I do think that there's space for both. I think there's a way to make it a win-win-win for the public, for employers, for employees. And the other side of it is when you think of a benefits broker, I think this segment will get so big that this may become its own specialty. This may be a new classification of specialist or advisor in the industry where this is all you do. And I think it's big enough that we might see a day where a benefits advisor will have a private health specialist on their team and they would go to meetings together. And I think that's how deep we can go. And maybe some private health specialist might have a medical professional on their team as a navigator. They might employ a nurse. They might employ somebody with a medical background to shepherd their clients in a unique way. And that may be a differentiator for them. So I do see some change in systems and new infrastructure and foundations of how we work being different. And I will say that there is a new level of intimacy with the clients that we work with. You know, primary care forever has been just over there in our conversation. So we don't really always know what's going on with our clients. But working in this space, you go a lot deeper. All of a sudden, you're hearing a story about what's going on with their kid, right? And it's just a new way of helping people. And one little small shiny gem of this program is there's no pre-existing condition clause on the MRI and CT benefit. So we've sent a few people for MRIs in their first week of being covered. And my gosh, I mean, the reaction to, I can get this done now, I've been waiting so long. And you know, I'm terrified of what they might say. They told me it might be this, and I've been sitting here, I can't sleep, I'm worrying. And so even just the relief of something simple like a scan, it's a new muscle for us all to flex. And we're just at the beginning of all of this.
So Gavin, this is amazing what I'm hearing, but let's step back for a moment. I'm a business owner and my benefits specialist, Robin, shows up on my doorstep one day to talk about my benefits program. And he starts talking about what we've been talking about here today. And my head starts to explode. I say, oh my God, like, I'm not sure I understand everything about benefits anyway. You know, I got to worry about my employees and wellness. And you talked about EAP before, and now this, here's something new. Like, this is just overwhelming to me. What's your piece of advice? How do you talk me off the ledge to say, hey, calm down? How do you make it simple for me?
That's a great question. And one that I think about a lot, especially when it comes to, I'll say we're seeing more complexity in the wellness space. The insurance space is still pretty sleepy, other than these new products, but in like kind of the regular health and dental, there's some innovation, you know, a little bit of fertility stuff happening, but not a lot. The plans are still pretty, you know, white toast. But I would say that in the wellness space, there's a lot of logos humming around right now. I could show you a slide where there's 80 logos of wellness companies. And that's, I think, where people really start to spin. And the wellness world is very difficult to navigate right now because there's a lot of new categories, and I'm finding, so I do work with Dr. Warren Chappell, who kind of started the AP space, was the pioneer And the EAPs where they grew to, you know, he got out of the industry in 2003, but I yanked him back in. But EAPs, what they've evolved to is really being a mile wide and an inch deep, right? They do a lot, but they do a little bit of it. The old school EAP models were kind of short term. You get a few visits, but not too many, right? This is short term counseling, not long term. So what the new wellness is the exact opposite. It's an inch wide and a mile deep. I almost feel like some wellness, I say, we only deal with right ankles. What if my left ankle hurts? You got to buy a left ankle product. And so like, it's just extremely specific, but they're amazing programs. And even the one that I mentioned before, physio, it's like a physical health EAP. They only do, you know, pain. They do nutrition. They do medically supervised weight loss. But if you say, you know what, I think I'm feeling kind of depressed. Sorry, we don't do that. You got to call somebody else, right? And so they have these walls of what they do and what they don't do. And so I see the future of wellness being a combination or a stack of like 4 to 6 programs at the company level of mental health, physical health, financial health. That's one that's there's just not enough being done right now in that space. I think that's the problem, kind of underpinning a lot of our mental health right now. But then you can even go into more holistic fertility and all these other new emerging spaces. So then it really comes down to priority. Should we buy it? Which one should we buy first? What category should we tackle first? And most owners, most VPs of HR, most benefit advisors have trouble answering that question. Right? What comes first and how much? And so as a benefits advisor that is engaged in wellness, there is data that they can draw from to help it feel more simple, right? And you can draw lines as to why they're talking about a program. You don't have to talk about 80 programs to have a productive conversation of wellness. So we get reports like a top 50 drug report. We know if diabetes is an issue in your company or not right away, right? So you can talk about a plan like RX Food. You can talk about a plan like physio if you'd like to do something about diabetes versus just pay more every year, right? So that helps, I find, kind of quell some of the noise of it's not just a sales job around, hey, this is here. Do you want to buy it? Right? Because that's, I think, what most HR people might get. Hey, this is here now. What do you think of this? Should we put this on? And they don't know why, how, or when. And so the other data that I like to look at when it comes to wellness is your long-term disability claims. Why are people going off, right? And mental health, third of the average company's claims. You know, well, I told them to call the EAP. Well, the EAP isn't meant for people really on disability. 3 or 4 sessions isn't going to go very far. So we have to innovate. There's new EAPs. We like to work with an EAP that covers up to 15 sessions, longer-term counseling. We like programs like EHN. They cover the most severe anxiety, depression, 72 sessions over 8 weeks. There's nothing else like
them. We've got a future podcast with them, Gavin.
Sure.
Yeah, they're coming on.
So I'd say if it's based on need or data, it's generally not confusing at all. But if you're just kind of throwing darts at a dartboard, that's when brokers can kind of get in trouble around, you know, why are you showing this? Well, I'd like to make a sale. That's not good enough. I think it really needs to be based on the population. You know, what evidence from the population you're working with tells us that they should actually invest in this. Otherwise, I feel like you're just checking a box. Yep, covering off this, covering off that.
Sounds like you're really trying to determine what's the real need here and then trying to fit the solution to it versus, like you say, just putting a product in front of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually very curious because I met you a few years ago through the CGIB. And of course, now we're both in the Benefits Alliance and I'm going to see you this weekend. So I'm looking forward to hanging out and get to know you better. I'm very curious how you're going to answer this question. And I'll leave it up to you, whether it's family, whether it's business, whatever it means to you. What does success look like?
Success to me looks like being able to build a business that I'd be proud to have my kids run. You know, are you acting ethically? If you're helping people and you're caring about the health outcomes and the wallets of your clients, what a great place to go to work, right? And I think that if we can make a difference in the lives of our clients, I mean, especially with this private health space, I honestly feel like we have the ability to save people's lives with some of the programs that are embedded in there. Like the impact, I feel, is a lot bigger. And so it's one part of the insurance industry where we pay claims, right? We don't have that reputation for, oh, it's a big, bad insurance company. They're just going to say no. I mean, with the amount of dollars that go out of our programs, I mean, even prescription drugs where we're used to, you know, we have these big $75,000 cancer claims. I mean, that to me is a successful business. When we can go to sleep at night knowing that someone's getting their medication because of your advice, what other industry can you do that in? And my other worry is, I think being successful is also bringing in the next wave of brokers to replace us. I really worry about who's going to be giving the next generation of business owners advice. Is it going to be a robo platform? I don't know that that makes sense given the complexity, all the pitfalls, the legislative environment. Robo in this world would be pretty tough. And I feel like there's not enough really keen new young blood getting into our business. And so I think about that a little bit. I'm 44. I've got a lot of years left in the industry, but I don't want to leave it without at least contributing to some structure or method to get people excited about this. What an amazing type of insurance to work in. So I think that would be really my definition of success. I mean, it's a big one. And also like make a bit of money too and have some fun going some trips.
Sure.
But having a good impact, I don't need to make $1 million a year to be happy. I'm not one of those guys. But I'd like to leave the industry better than how I found it.
Well, that's a great answer. And just from an outsider's view, because again, I've seen you up on stage. I saw you in April up at the Benefits Alliance on a panel. You're definitely making that impact and that contribution. And as someone in the industry, I certainly appreciate it. Al, I asked that question because I was genuinely curious about it. And I think that probably could have been an answer to your signature question, but I think we should still throw it at Gavin because I just have an idea he has something else up his sleeve for that answer as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've already hit a little bit on it, but here goes. And maybe, yeah, maybe you'll share something a little different. So a society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you maybe talk about personally or professionally what proverbial trees you want to plant?
That's a great question. I would say it does tie in with a lot of what we talked about today, but we've all been doing this a long time. I've never had the feeling before like I have now, where I honestly do feel like we're opening up a new market segment, a new way of working. And when it comes to companies taking care of their employees in a new way, I think we're setting the foundation for companies to do that differently, and we'll be setting new standards and new benchmarks. And right now, it's an executive style of program. But everyone I talked to, and I said, we got to figure out an employee version of this. And we got to take care of our employees differently now. Executives have, I'll say, complex and unique needs. But when we look at employee populations, they're facing the same wait times. Just as many of them don't have family doctors. And we are actively looking at building an employee version of this too. That's maybe at a lower price. So you may not get into one of the expensive private health clinics, but it might be something where a nurse comes to see you and does a basic checkup. And the idea of medical memberships, I think all of these will eventually find their way into a benchmark of a corporate benefit plan. You're going to have all the stuff that we're used to, all the tape, your health, drugs, and vision and dental. But I think this private health piece, this expedited access, this care, it'll just soon be part of a benefits plan. And it'll just always be there. So I think we as a community have the ability to create infrastructure both with product. You know, insurance companies don't build anything if you don't say you want it. And the other side of it is making sure that brokers are part of this conversation. And to me, the brokers are key. We are already there. We're already trusted advisors to companies. I think if the clinics were to do it themselves, this won't work, frankly. We're already in the healthcare space, and a lot of the services that are there are expensive, and insurance does a great job of funding expensive things. So I think there are going to be jobs that are created in this industry that just don't exist today. It's going to be an entire new part of our industry. So hopefully that'll be the case. And hopefully there'll be a lot of people who will be really energized to get into group benefits, where when we started in the industry, it just wasn't an option to work that way.
Well, Gavin, this has been great. And I look forward to hopefully being able to continue this conversation a little bit, maybe in the next few days when we see one another. So really appreciate you coming on today and learned a lot. And I'm sure our audience has as well.
Well, thank you. And keep doing what you're doing. I love your podcast. And the group benefits industry, there's such a cool factor. I talk to a lot of people in the public industry and I tell them about some of the corporate wellness programs we work with. And they're astounded. You can do that for how much? You know, a couple dollars a person. That's amazing. And I get that from people who work in the public system. So keep highlighting the superstars in our industry. Get the word out there. I really commend the pod. You guys are a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Gav, for listeners who are interested in more about what you're doing with everything that you're doing, because I know you're always doing a ton, what's the best way for them to reach out?
I'd say hit me up on LinkedIn. That's the social media platform where I'm most active. I read all my messages. You can find me by name, Gavin Mosley. There's not a lot of Gavins out there. Our website is groupbenefits.ca, but instead of an S, it's a Z on the end, and you can contact us through there as well.
All right, this has been awesome. Well, that does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or rejoining the conversation on LinkedIn. Success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.